The prayer meeting is a vital part of the life of the local church. Let us summarise the value of such a meeting. Firstly, the prayer meeting is an expression of our dependence upon God. As we gather to pray, we are confessing not just our individual need as believers, but our corporate need as a local church. We are coming before God to express the fact that we do need Him and that we cannot do without the power which He can give. We are confessing that of our own strength we can accomplish nothing, and we are thus cast completely, entirely and wholly upon Him. Secondly, it gives us opportunity to bring specific needs before Him. We can pray for others who are in need. We can bring before God the ill, the wayward, the worker, the needy, and all others whose needs may not even be known to us. We can pray for the spiritual growth and development of every believer. And thus, we are praying for the growth and spiritual development of the local church. The prayer meeting is certainly an opportunity to bring these specific needs before God. Thirdly, the prayer meeting is an opportunity to pray for the peaceful conditions which are helpful to the furtherance of the gospel. When we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read at verse 1, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." The first epistle to Timothy is an epistle which is concerned with the local church. And here Paul is indicating the need to gather together for prayer, supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks. What does Paul mean by using these differing expressions? The word supplication is a word that indicates a petition expressing a need. The word prayer has in mind general devotion. The word intercession has in mind an intimate conversation with another, and this would certainly include petitioning on behalf of those who have need. And of course, what need we say about giving of thanks? That is self-explanatory. Fourthly, the prayer meeting is an opportunity to give God thanks for all His goodness. Although we have placed this as number 4, there is a real sense in which it should be number 1. To give God thanks is the first priority in the life of a believer, and we should ensure that high up on our prayer list are those items for which we should be thankful in the presence of God. It is also worth emphasizing again that in 1 Timothy, Paul has emphasized to us that we should pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In other words, we pray for the conditions that will enable the gospel to go forth, because in verse 4 we read that our God is the God who will have all men to be saved. There are therefore good reasons why we should gather together to pray. Let us lay hold on God and believe that prayer does work, and that this neglected part of our Christian life receives the attention which it must have. Please do not think that the prayer meeting is a less important part of the life of the local assembly, of the life of the local church. It is no less important than any other gathering. It is equally vital to be at the prayer meeting as it is to be at the breaking of bread. Sadly, oftentimes, the prayer meeting is the first to go when we find ourselves following afar off from the Master. We have seen, therefore, that the local church gathered together to break bread and to pray. Now, turning to the Acts of the Apostles, we read of a further gathering which took place. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, we read that they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They were gathered in Solomon's porch in the temple in Jerusalem, and the purpose of that gathering was to publicly declare the power of God. On that occasion, there were signs and wonders. And although we do not have these signs and wonders with us today, and we will consider this in a further lesson, we do nevertheless still gather for a public declaration of the power of God. This is commonly known as the gospel meeting. The declaration of the gospel to others is the responsibility of every believer. But there are opportunities for the whole church to gather together for this purpose from time to time. As individuals, we tell of Christ and speak of Christ, but it is good to come together to do this in a united way. Having come to know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, we have a desire that others might come into the good of the same blessing. So, as the responsibility of the local church is to ensure that in the area there is a strong, healthy testimony in the gospel, so we will attend these meetings and give them the practical and prayerful support which they require. It is not enough simply to convene a meeting once a week, even when no strangers ever come, and then satisfy our conscience by declaring that the work has been done. The responsibility is only discharged when men and women in our locality are made aware of the terms of the gospel. This can be carried out by tracting, by open-air preaching, by inviting people into the hall to hear the gospel, etc., etc. Use every means available which does not contravene the word of God. So, the local church gathered together to break bread, to pray, and to proclaim the power of the gospel. Turning again to the Acts of the Apostles, we find in Acts chapter 11 and verse 25 that Barnabas was in Antioch, and recognized that it was necessary for the believers there to be taught the word of God. There was so much that he could do, but he also recognized that it required the gift of another believer to carry out the work of teaching in Antioch. He went therefore to Tarsus to seek Saul and bring him to Antioch, and they together continued for a whole year in that city. They assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. The local church, therefore, gathered to be taught the scriptures. God sets no premium on ignorance, and he desires that we should know his word. We cannot carry out the scriptures in our life if we are ignorant as to their teaching. It is, of course, good practice for every believer to read the scriptures for themselves and to come to know the truth of God by that means. Keep in mind, however, that teachers have been given to the church so that we might more fully understand how we can live obedient and fulfilled Christian lives. It is therefore most important that the teaching of the Word of God is carried out on a regular basis in the local church.
The local assembly.
That is why teachers have been given to us. And we do well to avail ourselves of what we can learn as we listen to them. So, we are building up the picture. The local church gathered to break bread. The local church gathered to pray. The local church gathered to proclaim the power of the gospel. And the local church gathered to be taught the scriptures. When we turn to Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, we find there that the Apostle Paul has returned from a missionary journey and he gathers the church together for a meeting at which he will report what God has done as Paul has gone from place to place preaching the gospel. The purpose of this meeting, therefore, was to learn what God had done with those who had been commended to the grace of God by the local church at Antioch for the work of the gospel. When a local church commends to the work of the gospel in this way, it is releasing those commended from their local responsibilities to go to other parts and spread the word of God. On their return, they will tell the church all that has taken place and of what God has done. So, if we were to call this a report meeting, we would be quite in accord with the spirit of the scriptures. The believers in Antioch would be anxious to learn how Paul and his companion had fared and what blessing had come from the gospel. So, in addition to what we said a few moments ago, the local church gathered to break bread, to pray, to preach the gospel, to be taught the scriptures, and to hear a report of the work of the gospel in other parts. These are the gatherings of a local church which should take place today. Let us now consider the question, what is the responsibility of the believer as far as these gatherings are concerned? You will remember that we read from the Epistle to the Hebrews that we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It is not sufficient to simply attend one of these gatherings each week. Some would consider that if they gather for the breaking of bread, this is sufficient. Now, it is true to say that some believers are unable, through age, physical weakness, or responsibilities which cannot be avoided, to attend the gatherings of the assembly as often as they would wish. This is a very different situation, however, from those who willingly absent themselves from the gatherings. What is the effect of such absence? The first effect is that the local church does not get the use of the gift which these persons have. God has placed us in a locality, and we will see in a following lesson that we all have spiritual gift. Spiritual gift is the Spirit-given ability to carry out work for God. If we absent ourselves from the gatherings of the local church, we are not contributing what God intends us to contribute. This cannot be honouring to God, nor can it be seen as a sign of obedience to the Lord Jesus. We are really saying that the local church does not need what we can contribute, and that God has provided gift in the area which is not required. This is a serious problem and must be addressed. The second point to make is that not only is the local church denied the contribution which the person can make, but the person is denied the help, comfort, support, fellowship and teaching which the local church can give him or her. There is great benefit in meeting with other believers, to be taught, to be encouraged, to be comforted, and to help each other along life's journey. It was never God's intention that believers should live a solitary life. It is true that he did set the solitary in families, and this applies to us also spiritually. We have been set together as spiritual families, and we deny ourselves the help which this can be if we willingly absent ourselves from the gatherings of the local church. The third point which I would wish to make is that absenteeism will affect our spiritual condition. Many have said that they do not gather with the local church, but that they are still in touch with the Lord. Now this can be partially true, but obviously development of Christian life and character and the growth of devotion to the Lord will be seen if we obey him, if we carry out his word. And that word has told us that we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In practice, many believers who do not gather with other Christians find that their spiritual life is affected. It becomes barren, and oftentimes worldliness creeps in. We need each other. The local church needs us, and we need the local church. The fourth point, which I would drive home, is that it is vital that we gather together because, as we have already noted, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. We have already dealt with this. But just remember Matthew 18 and verse 20. He is present, and where he is, we will wish to be. It is a privilege and an honour which none who understands its greatness would willingly neglect. We have professed that the Lord Jesus is our Lord, and one way we can show this openly is by attending the gatherings which he honours and ennobles with his presence. Again, it is sometimes found that there are those who do attend the gatherings of the local church, but never participate in the work which is carried on. Commonly we find that folks of this nature speak of what they get from the gatherings of the believers, and little consider what they can contribute to the gatherings of the believers. Once again, it is true that believers may be forced reluctantly by age or by ill health into being less active than they have previously been. In that situation, the Lord will give credit for desires which cannot be fulfilled. But where there is lack of interest and feeble excuses are given, there is something sadly amiss. To attend the gatherings and not participate in the work of the local church shows a lack of understanding of fellowship. To be in fellowship is not merely to come along, but it means to lend full weight to all that requires to be done. In the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, we will see in future studies that the Apostle Paul likens the church to a body. Every single member of the body is necessary, and therefore every single member of the local church is necessary. It is sad to come along to these gatherings only occasionally. It is sad not to come along at all. It is sad to come along and never participate, but act as if you were an onlooker or an outsider. The Lord Jesus expects, and the Lord Jesus is due much more than that. One final reason which I would give for our full participation in the work of the local church is that our work will be reviewed at the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15, we find that our work will be reviewed, and if it is gold, silver, or precious stones, a reward will be given. Otherwise, we will suffer loss. The gold, silver, and precious stones speaks of work of real value which has been carried out in the local church. It is work that has enduring value and is precious. The wood, hay, and stubble which is burned up is indicative of work which has little value. From this we learn that it is even possible to attend the gatherings of the local church. It is even possible to take part in the work of the local church and to participate fully. But the quality of that work is such that it has no lasting value. It is likened to wood, hay, and stubble. In other words, it is of no enduring value, and at the judgment seat of Christ, we will see that it has been burned up with no value for eternity. So we see that there are three dangers. The first is of not attending the meetings of the local church. The second is of attending and not participating. And the third is of attending and participating, but doing what is of no value. Work of no value is that which is not in accord with the Word of God. It is that which is carried out for the motive of self-glory and praise, rather than for the glory and honour of the Lord Jesus. Wood, hay, and stubble are bulky, and the quality of spiritual work is not gauged by its bulk. Keep in mind, therefore, that our work will be assessed, and let us determine to participate fully in the work of the local church of which we form a part, to ensure that we will have no regrets at wasted opportunities, to ensure that the work which leaves our hand is not wood and hay and stubble, but will be seen at the judgment seat of Christ to be gold, silver, and precious stones. Not because of the glory which we will gain from that, but because of the glory which is brought to the Lord Jesus by work of such sterling quality. Some people claim that they absent themselves from the local church because they find it difficult to get along with other believers who gather there. They let personalities come in and destroy their desire to gather. It is true that in any local church there can be those who are difficult and froward. But is this not a case of God testing our godliness? Is it not sometimes that difficult folks are allowed to cross our life so that we might learn to be patient and to forbear? Surely it does not happen so that we can abandon ship. As I say, this tests our godliness. Our God deals kindly with us. Our God deals patiently with us. Our God deals graciously with us. It is true that our God deals righteously with us, and so should we deal patiently, graciously, righteously, and forbearingly with others. In the epistles of Paul, we are told how to deal with all classes of individuals, and never at any time are we told simply to leave, to walk out, to refuse to gather with believers because of clash of personalities. The apostle speaks about the weak. He speaks about the strong. He even knew of some who were preaching the gospel so that he would be upset. We see this latter condition in Philippians chapter 1, where they were seeking to add affliction to his bonds. In spite of that, Paul simply rejoiced that the gospel was being preached. There were those who were working for the wrong motive, some out of envy, some out of strife, some for personal gain, and for other various reasons. Once again, in spite of all this, there was never any indication that the answer was to leave the local church. The Philippian believers are not told to disassociate themselves with those who were working, but working out of a wrong motive. No indication of abandoning the gatherings of the local church. If we are looking for perfection in others, we will be disappointed. There was only one man, the Lord Jesus, who was perfect in all things. So, how do we react? How do we live in the midst of other believers in a local church? If we turn again to Paul writing to Timothy, we learn that Timothy is told to be an example of the believers. In other words, when faced with those who opposed him, he was expected to be a true example of a Christian and to show godliness and Christ-likeness. This should be our response to such difficult persons and to awkward situations. In Acts chapter 2 we read that they continued steadfastly. The gatherings of the local church need that continual determination on the part of those who attend to keep going on for God. It is not a case of only going on when we are on the mountain top, when everything in the garden seems to be rosy, when there is not a shadow on our pathway, when there is not a cloud in the sky. We must continue steadfastly at all times, consistently, regularly, as long as we are able. Do not let the opportunities for service pass because of personality, because of problems which, when seen in the context of eternity, will be seen to have been insignificant and oftentimes petty in the extreme. Let it be said of us, at the end of life's journey, as we prepare to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and learn his assessment of our service, let it be said, they continued steadfastly. They kept on and on and on and on, breaking bread, praying, learning from the scriptures, preaching the gospel, having an interest in hearing what God is doing in other parts. They continued on and on and on until at the end of life's journey it was seen that they continued right to the end, going on at all times, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers.